It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather, and he who controls the weather will control the world.
Reality is an ever more bitter pill to swallow, and that fact will rapidly worsen far beyond what most are yet willing to accept or consider. This timeless quote from Edward Murrow is decades old, but it is timeless, and it is one we should deeply consider. He said this: "We have currently a built-in aversion to unpleasant or disturbing information. Our mass media reflects this. But unless we recognize that mainstream media is being used to distract, delude, amuse, and insulate us from the truth, then mainstream media and those who finance it, those who look at it, those who work at it, may see a totally different picture until it's too late." Indeed, that is the case. In many ways, it is already too late. It is too late to salvage the planet that we once knew, but we may yet salvage some part of Earth's life support systems if we collectively stand. Dozens of dire breaking frontline headlines later in this commercial-free news hour. Headlines on the issues that most immediately and directly affect our collective futures. What unimaginable threats are unfolding around the world and in the skies above us, while the completely orchestrated election theater continues to be ramped up to ever higher levels of idiocy? Each side's cast of characters pointing fingers at the other side, with mainstream media doing their best to, again, distract populations by dramatizing it all. Though there is one exception to the lineup of lunacy on both sides of the political fence, Representative Tulsi Gabbard, she will not make it far. The system and those who control it will not allow that to happen. What happened to the last truly honorable elected official in this country? Research Senator Paul Wellstone and find out. Not only was Senator Wellstone murdered, his wife and daughter were taken out with him. The entire governmental and election system is rigged, completely controlled, and we do not live in a democracy. It is all a farce. We live in a farceocracy. Is that a word? It should be. And while we all continue to tread water in a growing sea of deception and idiocy, the planet's life support systems are collapsing. New from the New York Times: climate change threatens the world's food supply, United Nations warn. What's missing from this headline? As with all such headlines from all official and mainstream sources, no mention of the planetarily devastating climate engineering assault on Earth's life support systems. Missing from this headline. And there is this from multiple sources: climate change, comma, humanity at a crossroads. To be clear, though, yes, we are at a crossroad in regard to having any chance of salvaging any part of Earth's remaining life support systems, in regard to passing the point of no return to the world that we once knew, the thriving planet that we, unfortunately, as a whole, as a species, took completely for granted. That point is no more. We passed the point of no return perhaps two decades ago. We are in free fall toward a planet that at best will be extraordinarily inhospitable. And at worst, this planet will soon be a lifeless ball of rock spinning in space like Venus, a sister to Venus, a true sister. It's called Venus Syndrome. Please don't believe anything I say on this entire broadcast. Please put aside biases, preconceptions, programming, and please actually research what we disclose on this news hour. If biosphere collapse is imminent, and in fact already unfolding, where are the voices of the rich and famous who will also go down with the sinking ship of climate collapse and climate chaos? From the TorontoSun.com and other sources, this headline: expose of total hypocrisy. Quote, A-listers arrive in private jets, mega yachts, for the confab meeting. This is a climate meeting of all the rich and famous. From that report, the planet's rich and famous arrived in Sicily to talk about climate change and putting their ample intellect into saving the planet. No mention of climate engineering again. They arrived in private jets and mega yachts, creating a smorgasbord of pollution among those attending Camp Hypocrite, which is what it should be called. Former U.S. President Barack Obama, Prince Harry, Leonardo DiCaprio, Katy Perry, and scores more of the great and good, quote. Invitees also included Mark Zuckerberg. Camp Google, aka Camp Hypocrite, is the brainchild of the search engine's billionaire creators. It's a three-day mega party on the Sicilian seaside that sources say will cost the tech giant $20 million. These people arrived again in private jets and massive mega yachts, and they have the audacity to pretend that they are somehow a part of the cure, while they, on top of all that, make no acknowledgement, will not touch the climate engineering elephant in the sky. In the case of Mr. DiCaprio, I have a connection that is connected to Leonardo. He was given a package of data on the geoengineering issue a long time ago, but all these people know how long their leash is. They know exactly how long it is. And they are afraid to hit the end of it. They are afraid to even mention the most dire issues we face, starting with the climate engineering assault. That's what the rich and famous are doing. And for those on the other side of the fence who claim there's nothing even wrong with the climate or the planet or the environment, hypocrisy just as great. There is more than enough denial to go around in this equation on all sides of the fence. And for those that on all sides of the fence that are not engaging in that hypocrisy and who are making their voice heard in this battle, to you, I thank you. My deepest gratitude to you. I don't mean to paint with such a broad brush, but the fact is, collectively speaking, our planet, our species, and the web of life is circling the drain at this very moment. Two more tragic mass shooting massacres have taken place in the U.S. since my last broadcast. I wish to express my deepest and most sincere condolences to the families and friends of the victims. It is upsetting but important to ask this question: to what degree will those in power who completely control mainstream media use to their advantage tragic events like the mass shootings? For those who are familiar with similar past tragedies, the answer is clear. All such events are very strategically utilized by mainstream media for the benefit of those in power to obscure immense and unfolding existential threats, to cover up the ongoing criminal activities of our government, to eclipse power structure created carnage on an unimaginable scale all over the globe. Events like the tragic mass shootings will also be utilized to further fuel societal division and thus distraction. In addition, tragic events are inevitably used to further curtail constitutional rights, in fact, to curtail basic freedoms. And all the while, the unfolding mass surveillance police state continues to expand. Those in power have always utilized tragedies for their advantage. A reminder, a factor that must always be remembered and considered: biosphere collapse will further fuel power structure total desperation. On that note, in regard to weapons, here's a question to consider. Have those who pushed the hardest for disarming Americans ever given us a straight answer as to why the U.S. government, or rather U.S. government agencies, purchased 2.4 billion rounds of hollow-point bullets in 2012? Question, what do governmental agencies like, quote, Homeland Security, intend to do with 2.4 billion rounds of .40-caliber hollow-point bullets? Consider this new report title from globalresearch.ca, quote, "We're all enemies of the state. Draconian laws, pre-crime, and the surveillance state unfolds." That's exactly where we are at, and how few yet see what's unfolding. How few are yet willing to look at what's unfolding. From Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, former cabinet member for President Ronald Reagan, this headline report, quote, "Preemptive arrest," end quote, "an open invitation to tyranny." This report examines a headline that I covered last week from the FBI, which suggests that those who don't accept official government propaganda are, quote, terrorists. That should be so incredibly alarming to anyone, everyone that's even slightly awake. We are free-falling into an Orwellian police state. Here are more questions that need to be asked. Are those who are trying to disarm Americans questioning the U.S. government's mass weapons distribution to terrorists in conflict zones all over the world? Does mainstream media say a word about the biggest arms dealer in the world, by far, the U.S. government and the U.S. military-industrial complex? Not a word. Not a word about the fact that terrorists all over the world are using U.S.-made and distributed weapons to kill countless tens of thousands of civilians or more. Some headlines to consider on this subject from multiple sources. Why the Pentagon continues to, quote, lose arms in war zones. It's not an accident. It's an intentional distribution of weapons to terrorists in zones that the U.S. military and the U.S. military-industrial complex wishes to destabilize. On the same subject of such weapons distribution, Pope blames Europe and U.S. for selling weapons in war zones. Similar headlines, same theme. U.S. and Europe blamed for weapons sales in war zones that kill children. Another headline, U.S. emergency arms sales to Mideast nations under fire. Selling weapons to create carnage all over the globe, nobody says a thing. Tens of thousands of civilians killed, nobody says anything. Except to focus on the tragic, yes, tragic, but isolated circumstances while ignoring countless other scenarios with the amount of dead being far larger, completely ignored in this country by our media, by our so-called elected officials. This is truly hypocrisy. The halls of history are littered with civilian slaughters that were a direct result of U.S. weapons, U.S. innovations, and U.S. occupations. Here are but a few of the most shocking examples from history that are never mentioned to our children or populations as a whole. How many civilians throughout history from all over the world have been treated in exactly the same way as the Native Americans were treated? U.S. military massacres and mistreatment of civilian populations include Nogun Rae, that's in Korea, U.S. military execution of up to 400 civilian refugees. A more well-known incident, the My Lai massacre in Vietnam. The day U.S. troops slaughtered 504 completely unarmed Vietnamese civilians in 3 brutal hours. Question, are such dark moments in history ever disclosed in our schools? Does that question even need to be answered? Are other nations and their governments innocent? Of course not. Of course not. Countless atrocities have been committed, often on an unimaginably massive scale, by nations all over the globe. But does that fact in any way excuse the crimes committed by representatives of our nation? Does not excuse it. Is it okay for our entire system of government and education to actively engage in hiding such shocking atrocities, such shocking historical truths as those I just mentioned a moment ago? It's not okay to hide these facts. How can we learn if we don't face history head on? The U.S. military-industrial complex is targeting an ever-increasing number of countries around the globe, countries with resources. These countries are always demonized by mainstream media, propaganda. Countries like Iran, Venezuela, all are in the crosshairs to be destabilized and taken over by U.S.-controlled puppet governments. Why? Because of their natural resources, again, that are needed for the empire to sustain itself. Also, because these countries have shown a lack of willingness to bow down to the U.S. empire. Who can blame them? In the case of Iran, for example, as I've stated many times in the past, how many Americans are aware that Iran has not invaded any other country for over 230 years? How many Americans are aware of or even care about the fact that in the last 100 years, the U.S. military-industrial complex has invaded, destabilized, and/or illegally occupied nearly 100 sovereign nations. It's called empire. Are mass weapons sales to known terrorist organizations the only way the U.S. government policies are destabilizing nations and inflicting mass casualties? The answer is no. Illegal and immoral sanctions are actually responsible for far more civilian deaths than bullets and bombs. Let's go back to the era of President Clinton. How many children did the illegal and immoral sanctions against Iraq kill under President Clinton's watch? Estimates are as high as 500,000, a half a million children killed as a result of sanctions or died as a result of sanctions. When asked if the sanctions were worth the death of a half a million children, President Clinton's Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright, said this on the 60 Minutes program. Listen carefully.
We have heard that a half a million children have died. I mean, that's more children than died in Hiroshima. And you know, is the price worth it?
I think this is a very hard choice, but the price, we think the price is worth it.
Let's stop for a moment to repeat what Madeleine Albright of the Clinton regime stated. I think this is a very hard choice, but the price is worth it. Was it a hard choice for you, Mrs. Albright, or you, Mr. Clinton? It wasn't your children dying, half a million of them. How many Americans have any idea that's what our sanctions did to Iraq in the first Iraq war, a war in which Saddam Hussein was baited into invading Kuwait, and all the propaganda that surrounded that, the propaganda that Iraqi soldiers were throwing babies out of incubators on the floor, a proven lie that was an ambassador's daughter that played the part of an actor making those claims, completely false, completely fabricated. How many Americans even care about the oil wells that were detonated and lit ablaze, decimating the atmosphere, blamed on the Iraqi soldiers, when in fact we now know that was U.S. Special Forces lighting all the wells on fire as they left Kuwait, hundreds of them, so that they could blame it on Iraq and so that they could create an unimaginable amount of work for U.S. corporations and contractors. That's what that was about. History that Americans have no idea was what it was. What's our country doing to Venezuela at this very moment? Consider this new headline report. Quote, economic terror. Trump regime aims to starve Venezuelans into submission. And all the occupants of the White House, Trump, Bush, Clinton, Obama, all simply facades, all simply actors in the play. And I want to stress that we must collectively overcome the political divisions that have been manufactured for us and thrust upon us in order to keep us divided and confused and caught up in the manufactured drama. All theater. What about drone assassinations? Here's a few headlines to consider. Quote, how the drone king, i.e. Barack Obama, turned assassination into counterterrorism, a counterterrorism policy. How many on the left will admit to that? That are waving their flags saying Obama was so wonderful. No, he wasn't. Just another face on the facade to divide, conquer, and confuse the U.S. population. From that report, Barack Obama launched more drone strikes in his first year in office than George W. Bush did in both of his terms combined. Military scholars called this a global policy of assassination, killing thousands of civilians. Think about that. Let's move on to the current day. Have the drone strikes against civilians stopped now that Obama is no longer in office? The short answer is no. Consider this headline from multiple sources. President Trump has dethroned Obama as the drone strike king. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss, only even worse. As time goes by, that is a natural trajectory as a power structure spirals ever further out of control and the facade of mainstream media attacking the president and back and forth and everybody caught up in these dramas, all designed to distract, divide, and confuse populations while the planet implodes around us. On that note, what unimaginably dire and immediate threats is the mainstream media not telling us about? Countless challenges surround us. The planet's life support systems are collapsing. Populations are being systematically degraded by constant exposure to toxic chemicals, toxic foods, contaminated water, toxic vaccines, ionizing radiation exposure, microwave radiation exposure. And then there's the ongoing geoengineering, weather, and biological warfare assault in our skies, which at any point of the power structure's choosing could be used to disperse pathogens which would level the playing field overnight. Question: why are the majority of Americans, and citizens of many other countries, in fact, still clinging to willful blindness and denial, even in the face of mathematically certain near-term climate and biosphere collapse? Indeed, a collapse of civilization before all of this plays out. Short of a complete course correction, this is the road we are on. Can we alter our current course in time to make a difference? That depends on what we do collectively or what we don't do. Breaking dire headlines in a moment, and later in this broadcast, specific instructions on how you can help to turn the tide. To those that are already awake and aware and doing their best to effectively and efficiently sound the alarm, to the degree you can, given your own personal circumstances, I wish to express, as always, my most sincere gratitude to you. Thank you for your courage and for your commitment to the greater good. We march together in this all-important battle. Late with my announcements, let me get through this very briefly, and I'll get on to more frontline dire-breaking headlines. This is Dane Wigginton. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour, episode number 209, August 10th, 2019. Again, news that most don't want to hear, but that we must face if we're to have any chance of changing course. This commercial-free frontline news broadcast is brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org, paid for by geoengineeringwatch.org. This news hour is broadcast throughout Northern California, 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM, Saturday morning, 6 to 7, Sunday morning, same time slot on the West Coast, East Coast, PRN Radio Network, Wednesdays, 2 p.m. Recordings of the broadcast can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. The latest geoengineeringwatch.org awareness-raising materials can be ordered from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. Another way to help sound the alarm is to attend the GEM Fair events, G-E-M-F-A-I-R-E. You can look them up online. GEM Fair has been and is an extremely dedicated ally in the fight to expose and halt climate engineering. Visit the geoengineeringwatch.org informational booth at GEM Fair events. Get free Geoengineering Watch awareness-raising materials and help us in the battle to sound the alarm and to wake the masses. Again, visit the GEM Fair homepage, G-E-M-F-A-I-R-E, to find out where events will be. You can get into these events, again, free if you tell the Ticketmaster that you're there to pick up materials from the Geoengineering Watch booth and to help us raise awareness. This week's GEM Fair event, Sacramento, California, August 9th through August 11th, started yesterday and is tomorrow, Scottish Rite Center. Next week, Santa Barbara, California, August 16th through 18th at the Earl Warren Showgrounds. If you're in the Redding area of Shasta County, free geoengineeringwatch.org materials can be picked up from Orchard Nutrition. Let's get on to headlines. There is so much to cover every week. I have to figure out what I can include and what I have to throw out because there's simply too much to outline in this 55-minute commercial-free news hour. Headlines: how great is the economy really? Tesco to cut 4,500 jobs in Metro restructuring. HSBC announces up to 4,700 job cuts. Walgreens to close 200 U.S. stores. This headline: pot calls kettle black as U.S. labels China a currency manipulator. Wow, that is the epitome of hypocrisy, isn't it? The U.S. is the primary currency manipulator of the entire planet, including commodity manipulator, and yet they're pointing the finger at others. Another headline: BRICS Nations Bank seeks move away from funding in dollars. Nations around the globe have had enough of the behavior of the U.S. empire, and they are ditching the dollar. That will affect us all soon. Another headline: Putin's pledge to ditch the dollar is slowly becoming a reality. For those that have convinced themselves that the ever-increasing stock market will always save the day, the card house Ponzi scheme stock market, yes, may continue to be artificially inflated until total collapse hits, like a tornado in the night. That day's coming, much more rapidly than almost any want to believe. More headlines. U.S. plans sweeping measures against Venezuela, Bolton says. No surprise there. Bolton, who should be in jail, is a war criminal who states openly on the record his agenda of toppling the Venezuelan government. Same with Iran. Now, these people are nothing more than state-sponsored mafia. That's what they are. Another headline. President imposes total U.S. freeze on Venezuelan government assets. Just like the Citgo gas station chain that our government has, in a sense, stolen from the Venezuelan government. What would the U.S. do if Venezuela did that to us? Let's stop for a moment to remember the U.S. Special Forces soldiers that were caught in Iranian waters. And in less than 24 hours, released back to the U.S. Do any U.S. citizens think that if we caught some Iranian special forces off the coast of Newport Beach, would we release them after or in less than 24 hours? Absolutely not. If other countries like China, Russia, for example, were conducting war games on our borders in Tijuana and Canada, would we stand for that? But yet, Americans expect other countries to tolerate that. War games on their boundaries all over the world. U.S. occupying some 150 nations with 700 or 800 bases. Empire. Based on and built with the U.S. dollar as the global reserve currency and the petrodollar, which has allowed this sort of unbridled, unprecedented hegemonic power to expand into the cancer it's become. And it's not excusing other countries. It's not to say other countries are benign or innocent. Not at all. But it's to say, again, that the degree of danger posed by a military-industrial complex is in direct proportion to the size of that military-industrial complex. U.S. military-industrial complex bigger than the next 10 biggest militaries combined. Something to ponder. More headlines. U.S. ready to target other countries for supporting Venezuela's Maduro. In other words, nobody is allowed to stand up to the biggest bully on the block, and that is, unfortunately, the United States of America. Another headline, tens of millions hit by Indonesian power blackout. What was behind that? What was behind the power blackout that happened in South America some time back, which appeared to be an EMP attack? Was that a shot across the bow for those countries, and who carried that out? Another headline, oil price correction triggers shale meltdown. The whole fracking shale nightmare that has done irreparable damage was always a Ponzi scheme, and that Ponzi scheme is now falling apart. Another headline, Sweden's biggest cities face power shortages after fuel tax hike. Another headline, quarter of the world's population facing extreme water stress. That will get worse. Climate engineering, the single biggest factor disrupting the planet's hydrological cycle. More headlines we're not told about in the U.S. Japan's food self-sufficiency rate, lowest in 25 years. That's a lie. It's the lowest ever. But they always have to give a previous date so people think, oh, not that bad. Happened before. Not true. Another headline, 1,800 dead as malaria epidemic rages in Burundi, states the UN. Reports suggest almost half of Burundi's entire population has been affected by the disease this year. Don't hear anything about that, do we? Let's move on to the most recent headlines of biosphere collapse. Biosphere collapse is the bottom line. It is what will dictate our near-term future. It is what is pushing power structures to unimaginable desperation all over the globe. July 2019 is officially the hottest month ever recorded since record-keeping began, beating out the former hottest month ever, the month before, June 2019. We've past, I believe, 415 or 416 consecutive months of above normal temperatures. For those that try to spin yarns of global cooling or global warming as a hoax, please, please, just simply look at the data. To admit to the planet's meltdown is not to be an Al Gore fan. It's not to advocate carbon credits. It's not to condone environmental groups that are behaving with unimaginable hypocrisy by their ignoring of the climate engineering factor. It is simply to admit to reality, a reality that we must admit to if we want to remain on credible ground. The planet's not just warming. It's in total meltdown. And even the term global warming somehow implies something natural, some sort of natural cyclical pattern, which could not be further from the truth. I've been over this in the past. Statistically speaking, the planet and the changes occurring on our planet are now happening at minimum 170 times the rate they have ever happened on the planet in the paleo past, based on paleo data in the history of our planet. We are in free fall toward a completely unknown scenario. What are all the forms of human damage to the atmosphere? Nuclear detonations, rocket launches, pollution, chemicals, cutting down the forest, poisoning the oceans, paving the planet. The list is immense. It's absolutely immense. And all of these forms of damage are part of the equation that should not, cannot be ignored if we wish to retain credibility. But at the top of the list of damaging human activities to the planet stands one issue. That issue is the climate engineering assault, the giant elephant in the sky, which academia continues to double down on their denial with. Let's hope that changes. I appeal to those in academia, please, it's not too late to do the right thing, to tell the whole truth, not half-truths or complete fabrications. And this is in the arenas of the medical industrial complex regarding the dangers of vaccines and countless other agencies in the climate science community who are systematically denying the climate engineering elephant in the room, who are backing themselves further and further into a corner because there will be no hiding the climate engineering issue for much longer. We at geoengineeringwatch.org will continue to do our absolute best to make sure that is the case. We will press forward in our efforts to expose and halt climate engineering until that is done. That doesn't mean our problems are over. The damage we have done to the planet is in so many ways irreparable. But the single greatest leap we could take in the right direction is to expose and stop the climate engineering insanity and allow the planet to respond on its own. But again, countless forms of human damage to the planet. I believe I left out microwave radiation transmissions, not just being used for communications, but also on a much bigger, more powerful scale for climate engineering, for climate modification. These transmissions are used to manipulate the electrically conductive particles that our skies are being saturated with the jet aircraft sprayed dispersion. So again, countless forms of damage to the planet. Could not quantify them on 10 hours of radio broadcast. All of them matter. But we must focus on priorities first. Single greatest threat we face at this time, short of nuclear cataclysm, is climate engineering. And again, for the record, we are still getting letters and messages at geoengineeringwatch.org from those who have convinced themselves that the current occupant of the White House has somehow saved the day and that climate engineering has stopped. That is not the case. I assure you that is not the case. I wish it was. I truly wish it was. But we're getting photographs from around the globe every day of completely sprayed out skies in Northern California last Monday. Total spray assault over Northern California. Entire sky blotted out, lines everywhere. There is no cessation. Simply in the summer months when some of the high pressure domes are put in place by ionosphere heaters to steer up a level wind current, some of the blatant spraying slows down. That's been the case every summer. But it increases in other regions, especially the polar regions. There has been no cessation, no slowdown. In fact, the U.S. government and the U.S. military, again, trying to acquire even more aircraft tankers. Why? Because they want to further ramp up the spraying. There has been no slowdown. There will be no slowdown unless or until the U.S. population wakes up, peacefully takes to the streets, and says no more, no more. We must expose this issue. Our lives depend on it, quite literally, in many ways. The weather terrorism, the weather and biological warfare in our skies continues to be waged on U.S. populations right along with these same operations being forced on other nations around the globe. There's no difference to those in power. We have all become a liability to those in power. On that note, the U.S. is in the business of, as I stated earlier, toppling nations and installing puppet governments. The U.S. has stolen so many assets from so many countries over so long a time, the true magnitude of the criminality and carnage could never be measured. And again, as I stated earlier, I'm not just speaking of bullets and bombs, but also decades of weather warfare, cutting off the flow of precipitation to targeted countries. As I've cited many times, every Middle Eastern country that was targeted by the U.S. government and military immediately after 9/11, the new Pearl Harbor false flag event, all of those countries underwent a once-in-1,000-year drought. Not an act of nature, but weather warfare. When weather warfare is not enough to destabilize some targeted resource-rich countries like Venezuela, then illegal, immoral, and murderous sanctions are used. Illegal and immoral sanctions that kill countless scores of innocent civilians. In the case of Venezuela, the U.S. is aggressively utilizing sanctions in an ongoing effort to cut off the food supply to Venezuela. The U.S. has already, in essence, stolen, as I stated earlier, the entire Citgo gas station chain from Venezuela, freezing over $20 billion in Venezuelan assets in doing so. It's not hard to connect the dots here. Though it may go against the grain, against what we wish and want to believe, we must face facts if we're to have any chance of changing course. We know which corporations are capitalizing off the carnage that's been created in places like Iraq, now in Syria, and who is occupying the oil-rich portions of Syria, U.S. corporations now in that region as well. Again, this is a very easy puzzle to put together if we're just willing to look at the facts. And I fully understand that statements like those I have made in this broadcast and previous broadcasts are immediately and angrily rejected by many. But I would ask this. If frontline verifiable data leads to unpleasant, uncomfortable, and unwanted conclusions, should we reject such unwanted conclusions without honest and objective investigation? Do we have the right to turn two blind eyes to unpleasant and unwanted truths in order to defend blind ideology and program bias? Another question. If we don't make every effort to see the world through a clear lens, no matter how painful the view, then how are we to know where we are collectively heading? We can't know unless we're looking through a clear lens at the wider horizon. Northern California weather report again, as I stated earlier, massive spraying Monday. We're filming this. We have a professional videographer filming this, logging the aircraft that are flying over our airspace, where they're coming from, where they took off from, where they landed from. Part of our continued effort to prepare for legal filing. So back to the weather over at Northern California and other locations. We knew about 5 days in advance, in the case of last Monday, that there would likely be spraying on Monday. Why? Because the weather, or the scheduled weather, quote, forecasting agencies, including our local ABC affiliate KRCR and their script reading, quote, weather experts, they call for mostly sunny on certain days, and those days almost inevitably are days that have very visible aerosol spraying operations. Question, how do they know this will occur sometimes 5, 6, 7 days in advance? Because they are reading scripts. We know this. We know those scripts are being passed down from the top of the ladder, Raytheon doing all the weather modeling for the illegally gagged National Weather Service and no employees. This whole scenario is massive and easy to decipher if one looks at the data. And I'm asking all those people that are involved with this deception to stand up and quit cooperating. Quit cooperating with the insanity. As I've already outlined in this broadcast and numerous previous broadcasts, we have seen the enemy and he is us. Those in power could not do what they do without the active or passive cooperation of countless individuals within society. So the day after, Tuesday of last week, no visible aerosol operations with very similar atmospheric conditions. We're recording all of this. This can only be rationally explained by jet aircraft aerosol dispersions. We're filming these dispersions, visible online for any who care to look. Film footage that can't be rationally denied. When we have academicians claiming that, yes, the aircraft has nozzles, and yes, there seems to be something coming out of that nozzle, but it's just condensation. It's ludicrous, truly. We have to start standing on our own sense of reason. The UV, for example, burning us, feels very hot on our skin, our cars and surfaces, burning trees, foliage, and people ignore it, pretending it's always been that way. It hasn't. Moving on, from EcoWatch.com and other sources, quote, Alaska's sea ice has all melted. Sea ice. Everyone needs to hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying all the ice in Alaska melted. Please try to listen to the exact titles I read and cover. I'm very careful about that. Sometimes people don't hear everything and they come to a different conclusion, an incorrect conclusion. Please back up, clarify, listen to what was stated. Alaska's sea ice has all melted. The ice near Alaska's shores has melted away entirely, leaving the nearest ice shelf nearly 150 miles away, according to new satellite data from the National Weather Service. The Independent reported, the historic Alaskan summer that saw record high temperatures, that's this year, warmer seas, and a once-in-a-lifetime heat wave until next year, has caused the sea ice to vanish. It's cleared earlier than it has in any other year, said Rick Thoman, a climate specialist at the Alaska Center for Climate Assessment and Policy. From Time magazine and other sources, quote, deadly heat wave kills 11 and hospitalizes thousands in Japan. From that report, the end of the rainy season has prompted a sudden mercury rise across the country. I've been over this so many times at Geoengineering Watch, and I encourage people to look up the engineering winter section at geoengineeringwatch.org, because the moisture is diverted by steering upper level wind currents into specific regions. That moisture is chemically ice nucleated, creates a cold dense layer of air that descends to the ground, lowers temperatures temporarily. When that clears and high pressure domes are installed to steer those currents elsewhere, and thus the cool downs elsewhere, temperatures go through the roof. That's what's happening. Report continues. The mercury rose across the country, sending 5,664 people to hospitals for heart-related illnesses, according to the Japan Times. Now, let's move on to another headline that's since this headline, just a few days later, from numerous sources. Abrupt climate collapse and planetary meltdown, again, continuing to accelerate. Here's a more recent report from Japan. 57 dead now. 18,000 hospitalized in Japan heat wave. Japan is in the throes of a dangerous heat wave. Japanese authorities asked residents to stay cool and hydrated since the heat was expected to last until September. How do they know that? Because it's the scheduled weather. I want to state for the record again, countries all over the planet, the superpowers, all cooperating, colluding, and collaborating on the climate engineering issue because of its cross-border ramifications. You can't just geoengineer over your own country. They are all working together on this issue. I can't stress that strongly enough. We have 800-page Senate documents, by the way, geoengineeringwatch.org, that prove this. We have other documents that corroborate this. Is there any scheduled relief for Japan? Consider this new headline from multiple sources. Japan on typhoon watch as heatwave death toll climbs. As I stated only moments ago, diverting as much moisture as possible into the heat zones to chemically nucleate that moisture and to try to temporarily and toxically cool those zones down. All the while, climate engineering operations making the overall planetary meltdown worse, not better. There's no benevolence in climate engineering operations. It is weather warfare, period. Biological warfare because of the toxic materials, period. From thegreekreporter.com, more headlines of brutal heat. Meteorologists expect new week-long heat wave to slam Greece. Authorities have accordingly declared a high fire risk. Greece already incinerated last year. From theconversation.com and multiple other sources, quote, it's time to wake up to the devastating impact flying has on the environment. From that report, studies have found people to be quite ignorant of how their own flying behavior contributes to climate change. The report continues with this. It's not hard to see why research into airline websites shows little to no mention of environmental impact. What else don't these sites mention? That their aircraft are being used for the ongoing climate engineering operations. We do not believe commercial carrier personnel are involved, but their aircraft are most definitely being used. We have the film footage to prove it. We have the photographs of the nozzles mounted on their pylons, which is part of the mount that holds the jet engine and aimed right into the exhaust jet stream, nozzles to make this look like, quote, condensation. Don't believe me. Please look at the photographs we have on commercial carriers. Their aircraft are absolutely being used. There's no question about this. We have the film footage to show them turning these dispersions on and off. You can't turn a condensation trail on and off. This is solar radiation management, i.e. climate engineering, i.e. geoengineering, i.e. cloud albedo enhancement. Those are the science terms for what is happening in our skies, and it absolutely is happening. Now, dirty, dingy skies, again, especially when looking toward the horizon, not blue as in the past, and there is less spraying over heat dome areas as I described, but our skies, our air is still filthy on so many days. Days that people think now are clear, but they are not clear. If you look horizontally across the horizon toward the distant hills where there's a few white cumulus clouds over the tops of those mountains, you can barely make them out because the air is so incredibly filthy. It's every bit as filthy as the smog capital of the world where I grew up in Upland, California in the 70s. And I train every day to keep my sanity and to keep my health. I train now almost exclusively indoors because I refuse to go out and huff and puff in this nanoparticulate-laden filth of air that so few people even notice. To train in that kind of air, I might as well smoke a pack of Marlboros. I'm not willing to do that. We have an obligation to protect our health so that we can be more effective in the fight for the greater good, and I intend to do just that. Our air is filthy, commonly, and how few people even care at this point. And in regard to the UV that I mentioned earlier, here's one question I want to fill in the blank on. Why are more and more children dying in hot cars? And for the record, conditions are very different and deceiving as compared to the past, because even if the ambient temperature is not that hot, the penetrating heat from the UV radically affects that closed environment inside the car because it's a radiant heat. It penetrates, and people are being caught off guard with this. And authorities are responsible for not disclosing the immense UV radiation because it is directly connected to the children that are dying in cars. Again, authorities, academia, playing the part of criminal accomplices in the climate engineering and climate collapse cover-up. Now, climate engineering, again, I want people to understand this constant comparison, comparing it to a volcano, as if spraying toxic particles in the atmosphere is somehow okay because volcanoes do this sometimes. It's not okay. More blatant and glaring and shockingly obvious lies from academia and science deception sources in the form of headlines. One of the primary power structure-controlled institutions, Carnegie Science, has just put out this headline, Geoengineering versus a Volcano. From that report, this pack of lies, solar geoengineering is a, quote, theoretical approach to curbing the effects of climate change by seeding the atmosphere with a regularly replenished layer of intentionally released aerosol particles. Proponents sometimes describe it as being like a human-made volcano. Can everybody please look up and see this is exactly what's going on in our skies, exactly what the science community describes, but says, oh, no, don't believe what you see with your own eyes. Believe us. It's not happening yet. A blatant lie. From the report also, nobody likes the idea of intentionally tinkering with our climate system at a global scale, said Carnegie's Ken Caldera. Anybody remember that name? The recording I played from Dr. Ken Caldera at Carnegie, he represents Stanford. Ken Caldera, who said his job for the government was to try to come up with pathogens that could be seeded into clouds to infect the population below. Carnegie Science's Ken Caldera and Stanford's Ken Caldera, who said another one of his jobs was to try to come up with ways to create geologic events like creating a tidal wave by detonating a nuclear bomb on the seafloor. Please connect the dots. Look up Ken Caldera. Let him know what you think. Please do it peacefully. Do not threaten. That does not help our cause. Do not physically threaten anyone. Anyone who posts any comments at geoengineeringwatch.org that are threatening toward anyone will not be posted. Please be productive. Post productive comments. And yes, openly contact people like Ken Caldera and peacefully and professionally let him know it's not okay what he's doing. Let him know that once the public wakes up to his part in the climate engineering criminality and cover-up, once the public knows, again, we can only hope and pray the public will hold people like Ken Caldera legally and morally responsible for their part in these crimes. You can say anything like that, but do not threaten. Not on our side. We won't allow it. Even if we hope these approaches won't ever have to be used, said Mr. Caldera, it's really important that we understand them because someday they might be needed to help alleviate suffering. What would you know about alleviating suffering, Mr. Caldera, when you yourself, as stated in your own words, as I played on an audio on this very broadcast, when you stated that in exchange for a paycheck and a pension for the U.S. government, you worked on programs to design pathogens to seed clouds to infect populations below? People like Ken Caldera are who runs and rules the system, and that will continue until we, the population, stand up, change our priorities, face reality, and help to turn the tide. All of us are needed. More headlines, from dying orchards to missing fish, as climate change fueled Europe's record heat. Not just climate change, also climate engineering, major factor in the equation that is being criminally withheld from public view. Here's a headline excerpt from Croatia. The harvest in almond orchards usually starts in late July, but this year the crop has failed with only a few mature nuts per tree. The trees are dying. those who try to point out what's happening to the environment are interfering with corporate bottom lines in many ways. And in many countries, those environmentalists are dealt with in a very harsh fashion. Our media doesn't tell us this. From the Intercept.com and other sources, more than 160 environmental defenders were killed in 2018, and many others labeled, quote, terrorists and criminals. Sound familiar? Sound familiar, as we had the FBI report that I reported on last week, again this week, that those who dispute the official narrative, i.e. the official lies, are now being considered by some government agencies terrorists. Orwellian police state, that's where we live. In other countries, such people are already being killed. How long till that starts to happen here in the, quote, land of the free and the home of the brave? Is that making America great again? Really? We have to get past the politics, all of us. The government, every side of the political fence, all part of the equation. Those who contribute to that, all behaving like cancer cells, each cancer cell looking after its own personal selfish interest, but a part of the cancer, carrying out the dictates of the cancer, a headless, heartless, soulless beast whose mission it is to proliferate at any cost, just like a cancer in a human body, to proliferate until the host dies, i.e. in this case, planet Earth and all of us with it. We must stop cooperating with the cancer, all of us, in every agency, in every science institution, please. Stop cooperating with the cancer that the military-industrial, medical-industrial complexes have become. More headlines. Scientists consider, quote, human-made volcano to slow global warming again. Been over those headlines before, as if that's not what's already going on in our skies. When will the truth be acknowledged? From multiple sources, what's happening around the globe, and this is extraordinarily important to all of us, Siberian wildfires and heat waves in Alaska, how the Arctic is nearing a point of no return. We have passed the point of no return. What happens in the Arctic and the polar regions radically affects us all. It already is. Continuing with headlines, I'm almost out of time. Russian cities are choking under smoke from massive Siberian wildfires. Please search the engineering wildfire section on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. From the UK Guardian and other sources, mass evacuation after fire triggers explosions at Siberian base. Another headline from RTTV and other sources, Trump calls Putin, offers help putting out Siberian fires. All major powers, colluding and cooperating on climate engineering. The rest is just theater. From KOMO News in Washington State, this new headline of rapidly increasing wildfire threats. Global warming brings wildfire risk to rainy U.S. Northwest. Again, geoengineering setting the template for incredibly hot burning wildfires that are now being utilized as part of the climate engineering objectives. Again, search engineering wildfire section on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. Stop, remember, and consider. No habitat, no humans. Very simple. Exactly how fast is the U.S. losing its essential habitat lands? From Reuters.com and other sources, quote, U.S. has lost 24 million acres of natural land in 16 years. We will not be here much longer on the current course. Man's war against nature is a war against himself. And are we putting the brakes on with our destruction of natural habitat? No, exactly the opposite. This headline from multiple sources, fossil fuel burning leaps to new record, crushing clean energy and climate efforts. New record, hitting the accelerator, not the brakes. Resource depletion and habitat loss will further fuel global unrest and conflict and power structure desperation. This is the bottom line. A final metaphorical quote from, again, Edward Morrow. No one man can terrorize a whole nation unless we are all his accomplices. And let me add clarity to this quote. It's not referring to necessarily one man alone. It's referring to those few who control governments and militaries. Governmental tyranny cannot exist or propagate without the active or passive support of populations, as I stated earlier. Complacency is consent. We have seen the enemy, and he is us. We, us, all of us, have the collective power to alter the equation in the right direction. We are not helpless, but we must examine and consider how to affect the equation, how to wake those around us in the most effective and efficient way possible. We are playing a grand game of chess. We must learn to play well. On that point, forgive me. One more quote from Mr. Morrow. He said this, to be persuasive, we must be believable. To be believable, we must be credible. To be credible, we must be truthful. The truth will be known in the end. The faster we can speed that process, the better our odds of altering the equation in the right direction. Yes, the truths we now face are dire and daunting, but face them we must. Learn how you can help turn the tide of insanity. Go to the activist suggestions link on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. Help us to sound the alarm. Help us to reach a critical mass of awareness. Doing so is the only way forward in this fight. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with geoengineeringwatch.org.